be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to On the Radio with Dr. Ray, featuring your host, Dr. Robert Ray, and co-host, Natalie Day. This program will help you find the body, mind, and spirit to define your biological age and live a vibrant, sexy, anti-aging lifestyle that you've always desired through diet, exercise, and a variety of helpful tips that will be discussed on today's program. Now, here is your host, Dr. Robert Ray, and co-host, Natalie Day.
Hey guys, welcome back to On the Radio with Dr. Ray. And here we are at the end of the year. Natalie, it just blew by so fast.
Absolutely.
Right? Isn't it amazing how each year seems to get a little faster?
Well, yeah, I remember the time when people would say time flies, and I'm like, no, it's so slow. And now I totally get what they mean.
Oh, my gosh. But you know what? It's been the nice thing about being brought to our knees is that we take, I think, a clearer look at life and what's important, what's not important. And I think 3-4 years ago, we, you know, lived a very frou-frou life on a booming economy. But now that, you know, all that has been stripped away by this economic crisis, I think we have, when we look back on a year like this, I think we see it through much clearer lenses. And Natalie, I think the thing for me, if I might start off this whole theme of changing lives and particularly changing ourselves,
right?
I think one of the most important things that happened to me this year was a trip to Africa, where I had an opportunity to do a lot of free surgery and see, you know, that simple day-to-day life is so difficult for people. Just getting water. I mean, they have to walk a couple kilometers, you know, with a bucket of water on their heads, whereas we just turn on a tap. And that really, perhaps one of our greatest sin, or, you know, to be very honest, one of my greatest sin is lack of gratitude. We are really given so much. And yes, the economy is a little tricky, but, you know, most of us have a roof over our heads and, you know, a little something to eat from, you know, throughout the day. So I think that Africa really changed me and to be much more grateful. How about you, Natalie? What do you think changed you?
Well, let's see. This year was all about learning how to juggle better, juggle family life and work life and travel life. And at the same time, you know, trying to give back. So we did a lot of charity events this year. And it's hard, I think, sometimes to get up and go out and do charity events when you feel like your own life is so chaotic. But I somehow felt the need that this year, because of the economy, because sort of the desperate sense in the world, that was the time that we had to go back. And so we've been doing a lot of charity events, a lot of community events, and despite how crazy our life is. And what we've noticed as a family is that it really does sort of change your perspective in a way that makes everything else a lot less, you know, out of control and a lot less crazy. You feel more in control, actually.
You know, I have a crazy schedule. Just a little side note, but your schedule is insane. I don't know. I don't think it's even possible. I mean, do you write it down on a schedule book? I mean, your pages must be loaded. I mean, I don't. You are the busiest woman I know. I don't know any busier than you.
Well, you know, good. Then my disguise is working.
And your family is such a great family. They seem undamaged.
Yeah, they're pretty
kids
healthy.
Are bright and they're cheerful and Your husband seems happy. I don't know how you do. What planet are you from?
Well, I don't know, but you know, it's funny because I still get inspired by other people so much, as you do. And one of the things I'm so excited about today's show is that we're talking about transformation, and we have a whole new year ahead of us to do just that, to change whatever we didn't like in 2011 or whatever was hurt or broken or too big or too small. We have a whole nother year to get focused, but we got some really great guests today that I want you to talk with, and they have really inspired other people by their stories, because they got out there and they changed something despite how busy they were or weren't, and I want to make sure you get a chance to really uncover their stories, because I think you're going to find them fascinating.
Well, introduce them to us.
All right. These are all women that we want to chat with. They are Facebook followers of us. Our fans responded, and we put out a show, What Have You Done to Transform Your Life? And these are the women who responded back with inspirational stories. So I want to welcome first to the program Dr. Deborah Kimless Garber. And she is not only a doctor, but she's a woman who, like I said, battled breast cancer and some pretty other horrific things, but came out on top. Let's welcome her now.
Hi, good morning.
Great.
Hello,
morning.
Hello. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure. So many people can benefit from your wonderful story.
Thank you. In 2005, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and after a double mastectomy, implant reconstruction, and then finally being discharged with a bill of clean health from my doctors, I was motivated to then solve two problems that resided. One was ongoing pain, and the second was aesthetic. I didn't like what I looked like after everything was all said and done and healed. So I searched the internet and searched boutiques and stores and talked with people, and there really wasn't a whole lot out there that solved these problems. So I decided to take it upon myself, and with the knowledge from anesthesia, understanding that slight compression is a real live pain relieving technique, I created these tops with a sewing machine, and on the inside of these tops, I have a compressive inner garment with pockets, and these pockets are allowed to hold the shapes that I created, because the shapes that were currently out there didn't really help women that had implant reconstruction. And if your listeners are not familiar with it, when you have implant reconstruction, at the end of the day, you're different than a breast augmentation. You don't have these lovely, beautiful, perky breasts. You end up with what most survivors call mounds. And so I created essentially contact lenses for the breast, or caps for the breast, that don't make you bigger. They just give you that beautiful silhouette, that natural look. And the upside of everything is that you don't have to wear a bra, because everything is built into the top.
Isn't it amazing as a physician how common breast cancer has become? You know, I finished medical school in 1990, and I remember it was a disease of older women. And today, I see it so frequently among the 20-something-year-olds.
Right. Well, wasn't it Dr. Juliana Rancic in Hollywood is now facing the same thing? And she's very young.
It's epidemic. It's absolutely epidemic. And I agree. It's shocking to see how widespread it is and how young women are that are getting it. And same with me. When I graduated in 87, it was an old woman's disease, or an older woman's disease, and now it's a young woman's disease. But what's even more shocking is post-mastectomy pain syndrome, which is sort of a deep, dark, dirty secret that no one talks about. And there are studies now coming out of Scandinavian countries where upwards of 50% of women who have treatment for breast cancer, either lumpectomy or mastectomy, are now struggling with this after effect.
You think it's kind of like sympathetic dystrophy that we see in the hands? Is it something like that? Well, what do you attribute to? What do you think the physiology of this pain is?
I think that there are lots of nerve connections to the breast. I mean, if you think about our breasts, it's an erogenous zone. If it's cold and you're not wearing the right bra, people know about it. If you just deliver the baby and another baby cries, you're going to let down milk. So I think there are lots and lots of nerve connections that affect the breast. And I think that it's a combination of, you know, disruptive nerve connections, disruptive connections, sort of like a phantom limb pain. So I think it's a complicated thing.
Sounds like we're almost identifying a syndrome here. Where is this pain localized at?
that's the crazy thing. It really doesn't localize. It's not like you could put your finger and point to, doc, this is where I'm hurting. And when you speak to other women, which I've gone around the country to different survivor conferences to speak with women, one, about my clothing, and two, about their pain, to see if I was the only person having it. And clearly, I am not.
What do you think? Why do you think it's so hush-hushed? I myself, sadly, have amputated many breasts before I went out to become a plastic surgeon. And that was never communicated to us as physicians. Why is it such taboo associated with talking about this pain?
I think this too is also multifactorial. I think one, most women don't follow up with their general surgeons. You know, they usually are followed with oncologists.
Right.
And I think oncologists have you know, a whole host of regions that may or may not attribute it to it, such as you know, the chemotherapy agents or the radiation. So they may pinpoint it to that, but yet the studies have shown that women who don't undergo these other modalities of therapy are at a high risk of having Bunch-Stetson syndrome. I also think that women feel extremely grateful to be alive, and I think they tolerate a lot of things, and I think they just don't talk about it.
When we do that modified radical mastectomy, the lumpectomy is a little surprising to me, but when we do that modified radical mastectomy, we are obviously, as you know as a physician yourself, we are really digging around in the nerves of the axilla, so I can kind of see it, but the lumpectomy doesn't make any sense to me because we are in that region with breast augmentations all the time. Our breast augmentation is probably not much different than a lumpectomy as far as incision length and, you know, the amount of tissue that's moved around. And yet we don't see those kinds of pains after, you know, a breast reduction, breast lift, breast augmentation. It's very interesting. I mean, it's really shocking for me.
I read the study. Yeah.
Well, this is an amazing. I mean, you're uncovering so much for our listeners. What I'd like to ask, as we're running short on time here, is what advice do you have, Dr. Garber, for women who maybe are going through the same thing, and maybe for women who don't see the light at the end of the tunnel?
My first advice is to keep the faith. My second advice is to find a support system, either through your family, through friends, and there are local breast cancer support systems out there. And if people are not available to you or you don't have anything, go to my website and use me as a resource. Either email me or post a question on the Red Thread by Dr. Deb Facebook site, and we will answer it and help and be a support. Because it is a small community, there are lots of women who are going through the same kinds of things, maybe not the exact same thing, but very similar things. And it's great to know that you're not the only person out there that are having certain types of symptoms or certain ailments or certain questions. Certainly, I would be more than happy to help answer anything.
You definitely made lemonade, Doc, out of lemons.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the compliment. And thank you so much for allowing me to share my story with your listeners.
Absolutely. And we're going to be back more with incredible stories of transformation here on the radio with Dr. Robert Ray.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Go inside the world of PR with PR Insider, hosted by public relations expert Maureen Kettis. Maureen will speak to the world's highest profile PR pros from the fields of marketing, advertising, and sales. And PR Insider will feature renowned members of the media as special guests. Maureen will give you a VIP access pass, including tips and tricks to take your business to the next level. PR Insider with Maureen Kettis, sponsored by Cision, us.cision.com. Listen every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Network.
There are a number of health and social services available to individuals for low cost or no cost. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with host Melissa Jenkins-Simon. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and agencies. We want to help you. Tune in to Outreach Today, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
News, opinion, your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to On the Radio with Dr. Ray and co-host Natalie Day. Find out more about Dr. Ray and the radio program by visiting drrobertrayhealth.com. Now, back to our program.
Hey, guys, welcome back to On the Radio with Dr. Ray, Voice of America. And today, at the end of the year, we are celebrating people who overcome seemingly unconquerable obstacles.
Right.
And how we can learn from them. I was really impressed by anesthesiologist, how she turned really a death sentence into a successful business. That also helps a lot of women.
Absolutely.
In the same situation. So just amazing, amazing, amazing story. And speaking of amazing stories, we have Melissa that just joined us.
We do.
And maybe Natalie can tell us a little something about her wonderful journey.
I can. Melissa, you can hear us loud and clear, correct?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And where are we calling you from?
I'm from Toronto.
So you're from Toronto. And I know you were referred to us by one of the guests that we had previously on the air with Dr. Ray here, Lizbeth Lopez. And Dr. Ray, her show was such a huge success. I think it's because the two of you just talked about butts the entire time.
But I like butts. What can I tell you? I'm Brazilian.
It's a huge show. But she referred us to Melissa. And Melissa, our show today is about transformation and doing something that really transformed your life. And I'm reading my notes here, and I'll tell you, I'm in shock and awe because you did something that most people actually think is impossible. Most people actually think is as realistic as seeing a unicorn again. You lost 100 pounds on your own, making healthy changes. And I want you to walk us through that journey.
Always been overweight. From little infant pictures that I've seen, I've always been a chubby little child. And growing up, I guess the weight just kind of packed on. But what never bothered me is that, sure, I was heavier, but I was still able to be active. In my mid-20s, I got to a point where I guess I was at my heaviest. I stopped weighing myself when I reached probably about 260. So I don't even know how heavy I actually really got. I was having trouble walking, and I thought it was like rashes on my ankle that was really swollen. When I finally went to the doctor, they said it was actually my blood pooling to the surface because of lack of circulation because of my weight. So that was my kind of eye-opener, and that was in 2008. And because I wasn't able to be active, it scared me because I was always active, even when I was heavier as a child, teenager, whatnot. So in 2008, I know the day, it was January 28, 2008, I picked up.
Wow.
I'm going to change my life. I started with gradual changes. So in 2008, 2009, I made the simple changes, like trying to eat a little better, smaller portions, going to the gym regularly. And then I hit a plateau or maintenance or whatnot. I probably dropped my first 40 pounds. After that, in January 2010, I'm like, okay, I need a little bit more support or something to change. And I joined Weight Watchers. And they helped me control, portion control of letting myself. It was the mentality, the support group, the people that I kind of liked from that. And then about August 2010, a good friend of mine, Dave, introduced me to Hourglass, or they told me that's where they know some people have gone to and they've seen great results. And I knew at that point I have my eating rate somewhat and my activity. I just need that extra little oomph. What Hourglass taught me was my goal to wanting to be skinny kind of changed. It was, yes, a health goal, but more of a fitness goal. I changed my lifestyle, my outlook on food, everything. And I really believe Lizabeth and her, the Hourglass workout group girls program is what motivated me to get to that final bit.
Melissa, you said something that caught my attention because of the psychology of it. What do you mean your attitudes about food? How were your attitudes about food before, and how are your attitudes about food now?
People say they're emotional eaters, and I was thinking, am I? I never really ate when I was sad, when I was upset. I realized I was probably a happy eater. I like being social. I have a large group of friends, and it was food, I think, was more of a reward. Like, oh, yes, I did something good. I could treat my, I guess the treating overindulgence. And to me, I'm an all-or-nothing almost kind of person, so there was no such thing as moderation in my life. It was kind of like if I opened a bag of chips, I almost felt I needed to eat it all. Now, because I'm more into fitness, I realize those things, yeah, they're great. You can treat yourself, and it's important to treat yourself so that you don't end up binging or going out of control at some point. But I look at food more now that it's fuel for my body. So if I want to reach a certain muscle goal, like if I want to see definitions of my shoulders or improve my endurance for a certain exercise, I know my body needs, let's say, the proteins as a building block. It needs certain vitamins and minerals in order to function properly. So that's how psychological change. I'm more interested now in feeding my body what it needs for performance versus it being a total social rewarding experience.
Congratulations. And you did it without a gastric banding, gastric bypass. Meaning these operations are fraught with many, many risks, including death. You did intelligently. Congratulations, Melissa.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you sharing your story with us. And let me ask, people listening going, okay, 2012 is my year to change, to get the body I want, to finally lose the weight, to get healthy. What would be your single piece of advice for them?
First is to write down your goals. Write down your goals, visualize it, and make an action plan. How do you plan on accomplishing those goals? For me, I knew it was food was my number one, and then a fitness regime, and third, support. Without my friends and family and the people I've met through my various fitness programs and whatnot, I would never have accomplished what I did. And also, you have to be mentally prepared that it's going to be hard. By no means is it an easy process. You don't wake up one day and you're like, great, it's going to happen. It's all, you know, success from here. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have moments of frustration, but you're also going to have the great moments where you look in the mirror and you're like, wow, look what I've accomplished. And always be proud of the things you've accomplished rather than focusing on the negative. That's what I think.
You know, Melissa, you've done this incredible thing, and other people have done it as well. And everyone's good for 3 months. Let me ask you to really put a little fire under you. As a physician, I recognize the danger zone. The danger zone is going to be Friday night when you're lonely and you're exhausted. And maybe you've had a failure or two at work. That peanut butter and jam sandwich in the refrigerator starts winking at you. You know what I'm saying? So the question I have for you here, which a lot of people struggle with, what are your thoughts on relapse? Is it something you think about? How do you control it? How do you deal with that Friday night when you're tired and depressed?
That's part of the challenge. There are probably going to be little minor, I wouldn't want to say relapses, but moments where you do give in to a certain craving or a certain emotion or a certain action that hinders supposedly your healthy lifestyle. I think it was like a month or two ago, I ran into training with Liza, but then I'm like, I have to confess. She's like, what? And I'm like, I had chocolate, I had this, and I just list the things I had. She's like, okay, how did it make you feel? I'm like, it felt good, and then now I feel bad. She's like, is it over with? I'm like, it's over with. And I just don't continue it the next day. A relapse is not the worst thing if you realize I relapsed yesterday or relapsed for the past 2 days, but today's a new day and I'm going to continue forward. It becomes an issue when you continue it and it becomes the regular versus the unregular. In your life, you are going to indulge in something. I don't think someone could imagine going for the next 60 years of never having a treat of some sort, right? But it's managing those treats and not beating yourself up over it. Brush it aside, get back onto the program, get back onto whatever fitness regime the next day. And also the scenario like the peanut butter and jam in your fridge. First of all, it's keep treats or keep food in your house that is healthy, A, for you.
Amen.
And if it's a big vice for you, no, you shouldn't have it in there. For instance, let's say I'm craving chips or something very horrible that I normally wouldn't eat. I will go with a friend to the store, open the bag, eat what I want, and either throw it in the garbage after or pass it on to my friend, like, you take this home. And they're like, no, you're going to waste it. I'm like, I would rather waste it than eat the whole bag. I've had the 10 that satisfied me, I can't afford to keep it because I will finish it.
One of the greatest lies ever perpetrated to us humans, one is that life ends in death, and the second one is what, oddly enough, our mom told us, that we should clean up our plates. I cannot think of a bigger lie than you should clean up your plate. I totally agree with you. Just throw the damn thing away. I agree with you. You know, it's funny that as you look over the world, we Latins, our culture is about 500 years old. Brazil discovered 1521. You know, 1498, various numbers around that range. And our culture is 500 years old. We haven't had a chance to really iron out the little dietary problems. Our cultures really, really, really struggle with obesity. But if you look at a culture that's been around 5,000 years, like Japan, for example, and the Japanese diet is so extremely healthy. And if you look at Okinawan, there are more centenarians in Okinawa than any place in the world. So it's funny that culture does play a huge role, especially some of these younger cultures that haven't had a chance to really iron out these dietary problems. And so that I totally agree with you. Melissa, anyhow, congratulations on your amazing achievement and for hanging with it. Like I said, everyone can be good for 3 months. But you've been good much, 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 much more than 3 months. And it sounds – I tell my patients that a 1 year becomes a lifestyle, and you long since passed that. And I think this is for life. So thank you so much for sharing your story and helping our listeners and, you know, really conquering you know, the whole purpose of life, in my understanding, was to conquer the natural man. And for each one of us, the natural man – means something differently. For some of us, it's alcoholism, it's drugs, maybe food, maybe anger, and you conquered your natural man. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's a challenge. Your biggest worst enemy.
Great story. Thanks so much. All the success to you in this upcoming year, and I know that you've inspired a lot of our listeners to finally make that decision. And one of the things that our listeners can do is join Dr. Ray's Facebook community, his Twitter following, his website, drrobertrayhealth.com, and you can actually get a lot of these tools, tips, eating tricks, exercise, inspiration, motivation to do what you did, which is find something that works for you and make it work. So thanks so much. Stay tuned. We are talking next with a 62-year-old woman who went back to school and is at the top of her class. So stay with us with more on the radio with Dr. Robert Ray.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv. Just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High definition, premier quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Are you ready for an open, informative, and fun discussion on health, wellness, and a whole lot more? If so, you'll need to tune in to The Good Life with Forbes Riley and Charlie, featuring award-winning TV host Forbes Riley and multimedia producer, author, and CEO Charlie Fusco. Our show is real, honest, opinionated, and full of laughs. Our well-known guests of authors, experts, and celebrities will give you the inside scoop on health, fitness, and personal success. The Good Life with Forbes Riley and Charlie is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to On the Radio with Dr. Ray and co-host Natalie Day. Find out more about Dr. Ray and the radio program by visiting drrobertrayhealth.com. Now, back to our program.
Hey, you guys, and welcome back to On the Radio with Dr. Ray. And at the end of the year, we're talking with various wonderful people about their monumental challenges and how they overcame it. Our last guest of the day, Yvonne, and I tell you, as a physician, at 40, you have less than 50% of the memory you had when you were 20. But that did not hold Yvonne back, because Yvonne, at 62, went to college and obtained a GPA of 3.8. Now, listen, I went through all the pre-med stuff, and I think that was my GPA in my 20s. So amazing accomplishment. And it's a testament of how resilient the human body, the human brain, and the human spirit. I just took my second degree black belt, and it's 3 hours of fighting nonstop in all kinds of different scenarios. And long, long after my body was spent, I kept going. I realized at the end that it was all about heart. It was all about the heart. So, Yvonne, welcome. Yvonne, I'm here with Natalie Day.
Hello.
And yes, Tim, our producer. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Yvonne, why going to college at 62 when people are on a hammock in southern Florida? What possessed you, I guess possessed would be a good verb, what possessed you to go back? I still have nightmares about school, and this is 21 years later. Why?
I was a victim of the recession, and I was employed for many years in a very good job and made a very good salary, and I was very happy with my position. And of course, once the recession came about, it did impact me negatively, like for most people. And so after about a year or so of trying to find work and trying to find something compatible to what I was doing.
What were you doing before?
I was working in the financial area of banking. And
where?
I was
what
doing,
city? What city?
Oh, in Texas. I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I was working for a major bank. And in this bank, we were responsible for processing, maintaining, and caring for many commercial loans. And during the time of the recession, and of course once that did take place, it impacted many people. It impacted businesses to the point of default, and loans were going under, and that of course eventually impacted my job. So during that time, as I said, while I was hunting for something compatible to what I was doing in work, I was driving along, going from point A to point B, and I heard a commercial on the radio. And there was something about the commercial that struck me about going back to school. And I believe it focused on the message that President Obama was at the time putting out there, in fact, about going back to school to get a degree, there's funds out there to go to college. And I went from where I was headed to and made a detour, and I drove to the college that I'm attending. And on that day, I decided I was enrolling in school. And so I went through the preliminaries, and I also went in and took an acuplacer exam. And the acuplacer kind of determines your skill level in math, in reading ability, in essay writing. And I did well on my scores, and from that point on, I've been attending school.
So you are 62 right now, is that what I heard?
Yes, I'm 62, and I did see you at Nordstrom's about 2 years ago. I was there, and I was I was buying product, and I was telling your interviewer that you exude positiveness, and it's infectious. And people around you can feel this. They're influenced by it. I find that to be fascinating, and I found that trying to maintain a positive attitude in anything you do, whether it be going back to school, looking into a new career, job hunting, whatever it is you're doing, if you can maintain an attitude of positiveness, it will get you to where you need to be. And that's what I learned when I saw you that day.
You know, I say this all the time, that reality is not really reality. When you look at that coffee table in front of you, it turns out that coffee table is not really there. I'll explain why from a chemistry point of view. The distance between the molecules are greater than the mass of the molecules. In other words, your brain fills in the table. The point is that we create our reality. You know, the martial arts we teach all the time, that the man that thinks it can be done and the man that thinks it can be done are both correct. Because the man that thinks that can't be done, it won't be done. And the man that thinks it can be done will do it. So we create our reality. And so really there's no reason for negativism because we force our reality. I think you're going to conquer the world and you're so devoted at 3.8. My gosh,
yes.
Must be a devoted person. So more power to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What is it like going to college with all these 18-year-olds?
Oh, I think I fit in pretty well. And the reason why I say this is because whenever I'm in conversation with another student, I can almost relate to what they're saying, what their anticipations are, what their struggles are. I think I'm going through the same thing. It's not easy mastering college courses. It is difficult, but I feel I'm in my element. Some people tell me I don't look my age. I can wear the same clothes like the girls at school wear. I mean, I feel like I'm amongst my peers. So to me, my age is really not a factor. If anything, when I'm speaking to other students, they come to me for some encouragement, some support, and they find it amazing to see me in class with them and doing the same thing they're doing and studying the way they study, and they find it amazing. So I get a lot of positive feedback from other students whenever I'm in class or going through the halls or even talking to the professors. And mind you, every time I sit in the class, I'll look around and I'll say, I bet I'm about the oldest person in this room, except maybe for my professor. And many of my professors are even under the age of 60.
Many
of them. You know, Yvonne, one of the things I find amazing about your story is that, especially as Dr. Ray said earlier, we have a crazy time going on right now with the economy. You admitted to being a victim of it. But I've known people that have been out of work for 3 years, and not one of them has gone back to school. You know, so I think that when, you know, you said earlier, you're given a lemon, what do you do with it? You know, a lot of people out there saying, well, I can't get a job, I can't work, I have to be on unemployment, or I'm sitting at home. You could have done the same thing. What is it that made you decide, instead of sitting at home, collecting unemployment, or, you know, just enjoying my 62 years, what was the one thing that said, no, I'm going to go and invest more into my life?
I can't imagine a better decision, only because I've always been a go-getter. I've never settled for the situation. I always try to do something to turn it around, to make it better. And I knew that if I'm not going to find a job, I have to do something that's constructive with my time, something that's going to help me and maybe help others. And that is the really a true reason why I said I am going back to school and I'm going to make this work. Just this past spring, I was inducted in Phi Theta Kappa. I did not know who Phi Theta Kappa was prior to my going to school. And when I got that invitation, I was thrilled. And at that time, I was just under the 3.86, but it was incredible. And the moment that I was inducted, the doors fly open. You get scholarship offers. You're invited to to different seminars. I was recently invited to go to China with a group that is focusing on diplomatic relations and cultural awareness, and I was thrilled by that.
So amazing.
Congratulations. And, you know, we've had some wonderful stories today, Natalie, of overcoming. And I think it's very fitting as we prepare to start a new year, you know, have brighter, more positive goals. You know, let's take control of our lives. And, you know, destiny is a lie. We create the direction of our lives. And people who are victims to destiny, to be quite honest with you, those are, I believe, are not the winners. The winners are the ones who create their direction and are not subjugated by destiny. So anyhow, let's take charge, control our lives, reach our goals. And when we look back on these 80 years, you know, let's smile and say that, you know, we did our best and we accomplished this, that, this, and the other, and we made the world a better place. So, you know, it's not a dress rehearsal. We come through once. Let's make it count.
Yeah, absolutely. Yvonne, thanks for being a guest on our program. We are going to come back with one more episode to close out this 2011 year. We're going to bring you the highlights of Dr. Ray here on the radio for 2011. So stay with us after the short break. You're going to hear from Christian Slater, Cindy Barshef, Lizbeth Lopez, Ricky Bottolico, and more. And these are clips of some of the most important interviews we've had all year. They're going to share their secrets for staying fit, staying healthy, staying happy, staying successful, and truly living an inspired life. So I encourage you to stay tuned for this next segment and to certainly join us for an incredible 2012. Dr. Ray, any final thoughts as we close out this year?
Life is not an spectator sport. We come through once. Let's make it count. Let's make this world a better place. Let's make it count. Let's make this 80 years count for the betterment of the world and humanity.
Thank you so much, and join us next up on the radio with Dr. Robert Ray.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We'll be right back.
listening to On the Radio with Dr. Ray and co-host Natalie Day. Find out more about Dr. Ray and the radio program by visiting drrobertrayhealth.com. Now, back to our program.
Somebody's got to make it, and you have to have desire. If you don't have a desire to be good at what you want to accomplish in life, you'll never get anything done. And I was one of those guys who, I don't think I was the greatest talent in the world, but I definitely used my talent to the best of my ability. You also have to go in, especially when you get to the major leagues or when you get to the top of your profession, you have to have that desire to get over the top of that. And know that you're as good as everybody else that is in your place. And once you can get that, and you know it in your heart, you know it in your mind, then everything else just kind of falls into place. Obviously, it takes a lot of hard work to get there. But if you have that, if you have that in you, anything can be accomplished.
Oh my God! are you talking about me, or are you talking about the average person, what they should do?
No, I'm talking about you. When you go off the 20% deep end. What's your favorite food?
It honestly could be absolute. Well, not anything. I won't. I'm not a big fast chain. I don't even have any interest in it since I was a teenager. But if I'm at a wedding, I'm going to have, the cake and the ice cream and the whole thing. Like, I'm not a big dairy person, but it's not that I won't eat it. If it's fun and we're all out and we're doing Sundays, of course, I'm jumping in there. So it honestly, it could be pizza. It could be really whatever. There's a few things that I won't touch, but for the 20%, I really believe that I don't plan on cheat days. And I feel like that's a big thing with me and my clients is I tell them, don't plan your cheat day because it's not very natural. And then something fun will happen and it's not your cheat day. So you can't have anything. And then you feel like you're being deprived. So I tell the girls, if it's a day out with the girls and they're all doing drinks, they're all doing shots and they're doing Chinese food after whatever it is, and that you want that to be your day, then okay, don't tell me about it. I'm not a confessional. I'm treated as a confessional during personal time. But have your fun and then go back to the way you're supposed to do it.
We have an incredible show today. We have Cindy Barshock from New York Housewives.
I am very excited. I'm very
excited. Isn't that awesome? Not only is she super cool, she's actually, ladies, very, very pretty. I spent a weekend with her, and we basically painted the town red, didn't we, Cindy?
We had a great time. We had a great time. It was fun. Very interesting spending a weekend with Dr. Ray, that's for sure, and informative.
Interesting choice of adjectives. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very smart businesswoman, cutting edge, but also great mom. Cindy, your kids are perfect. I mean, inside and out. You have two twins, and they're perfect. I cannot think of
anything. Is it terrible when I say I know? I swear. I have to say
no,
I know. They're just such good kids.
Self-esteem comes from self-confidence, right? So absolutely.
Okay. Now, mind you, I remember.
Sounds like childbearing. Is should for
but I will say one thing though. The first time I did it, I was with my boyfriend and we were like at his cousin's house and he didn't do any of those things and I went running butt naked through the middle of the apartment and locked myself in the bathroom crying, saying I would never do it again. Now I absolutely love and adore it. So my point is that yes, it might be difficult the first or second time. However, practice makes perfect, and once you get it down, it's fabulous.
So for our male listeners, should it be incorporated into regular sex, or rarely, or never, or all the time, or what are the rules?
Once you've gone through it with your partner to where she's comfortable with it and she enjoys it, I think naturally she's just going to get in mood to where she wants to be a bit naughty and she wants that type of pleasure.
what are some of the things, synoptically, that you can teach our male audience about how to please their partner better?
The most important thing that a man can do with a woman, or that women and men can do together when they're in an intimate situation, is to connect. Touching each other's bodies is really, really important, too. Going slowly, it's exploring the body like it's a map.
So, Melanie, I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. So in your book, you've got things in here called, like, the deer and all sorts of pictures and stuff. Are there tricks in here where a woman who maybe isn't at the same level with her partner would, you know, would love to be, but, you know, where she needs to basically come to the party prepped?
Yes. You know what? That is such a good question, because a lot of times women do need to get themselves aroused and get their own juices going before they connect with the man. And this, and that can happen very easily. And one thing that she can do is do these hip movements. She can just dance, doing a sexy dance to her favorite song or a series of songs, and really bringing the pelvic girdle into the action. Having, swaying your hips and swaying them back and forth as if you're thrusting, as if you're in the act of sex already, making love with your man.
Easy. No, you're doing good. Keep going, baby.
You know, kids are a top priority for us, but the number one priority is our partner. Can you love somebody more than yourself? That was the last and final lesson of life in this 80-year journey. Can you love somebody unconditionally? She has MS. She has breast cancer. She lost an eye. And so first and foremost, our number one priority is our spouse.
What do you think about that, Haley?
I have tears in my eyes. I'm like, wow, that was nice. I'm like, wow. That's we've always said that since we were first married, that we always had to remember that, you know, we're going to end up together alone one day. And as much as we put our kids as the number one priority, that we have to remember to keep ourselves as a priority also, so that we're not left, you know, just reading the newspaper every morning and not knowing what to say to each other after the kids have left.
Very, very good advice. And we are going to wrap up this segment. Dr. Ray Haley, thanks so much for tackling such a difficult subject today.
Our pleasure. We love our audience. We're truly friends. You know, such a division in Hollywood between the audience and the performers. That's why we get along with our audience so well.
Thank you again for listening. On the Radio with Dr. Ray will be back next Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Please join host Dr. Robert Ray and co-host Natalie Day again for another terrific show. And have a great week until then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.